FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and well, you know, there's a lot of waste, corruption, and graft in our nation's capital, as well as our state capitals. Well, person who's been at the vanguard of exposing this corruption for what it is, and make no mistake, it's corruption. You can find him at openthebooks.com. Adam Andrewski is with us again. And Adam, it's great to have you back. So you just had a new report coming out about the swamp. Congress is in the middle of the swamp. Hey, anybody who's got an opinion, what do you think about corruption in politics and the way they milk the system for their own benefit? Certainly not for yours. Just email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. So Adam, your new report, you highlighted, it's not something that's on one side of the aisle or the other. In fact, when it comes to corruption, there is no aisle. Everyone's in the same party there. What did your research show?
So most people wonder how 97% of Congress can get reelected every single year, even though only 17% of the American people believe that our representatives are actually doing a good job. So at openthebooks.com, we audited Congress. We mashed up the federal checkbook, the last 5 years of it, with the congressional campaign donor disclosures. And Kerry, here's what we found. We found powerful members of Congress are soliciting federal contractors who are based in their district for campaign cash. Oftentimes, these contractors are the number one all-time campaign contributors to the powerful member of Congress. And at the same time, these federal contractors are also reaping millions, if not billions of dollars out of the federal checkbook from the committees that these members of Congress sit on.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a big pay-for-play situation then, isn't it?
Well, I'm glad you brought up the term. Look, our organization's from Illinois. It is the Super Bowl of corruption. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing happening in Congress that happens in our state, that probably happens in the state of Connecticut as well. And that is, all of these transactions are legal at arm's length, but the pattern is troubling. And so how we characterize this is that that this is all legal. It's pay to play, but it's been legalized. Look, Congress writes the laws. The laws are lax. These members of Congress have learned, you know, how to play within the rules. They've learned how to take taxpayer capital and leverage it up for their own political capital. And oftentimes what we found is for their own personal financial gain as well.
Well, this has been going on a long time, hasn't it?
Well, it has. And I don't think our founders ever envisioned that Congress would control so much of the nation's wealth. So when you spend more money, when you regulate more, by definition, Kerry, you're going to have more conflicts of interest. And what our report does is it shows how these powerful members, through the, you know, through their committees, through the power of being a congressman, have literally been able to take taxpayer capital and monetize it for their own personal and political ends.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there's nothing new here, though. This has been going on for quite a while, hasn't it?
Well, it has. And let's take a look at a specific example from Connecticut. In Connecticut, you have a powerful member of Congress, John Larson. John Larson is a ranking member that sits on Ways and Means. And in his district is based a Fortune 100 company, a defense contractor, United Technologies. And United Technologies is the number one all-time campaign contributor to John Larson, giving him roughly $377,000 over the course of his career, not from the company directly, but from the company's political action committee, from their executives, employees, and their affiliated lobbyists. Just in the last 5 years, United Technologies received literally billions of dollars, about $16 billion worth of federal contracts, and over $80 million worth of subsidy. This is federal aid, taxpayer aid to a Fortune 100 company in the form of grants. And lo and behold, John Larson owns their stock.
Wow. How did that happen?
Well, since 2012, through the latest disclosure as filed in the spring of this year, in 2019, Larson discloses that he owns up to $15,000 worth of United Technologies stock. Now, this is pretty important, because he also brags via press release that the president in the latest budget wanted 78 F-35s. This is the Joint Strike Fighter jet. While Larson brags that he brought in 90 of them. Now, each of these jets costs $100 million, and Larson brags he got 12 more than what the president even wanted. So that's $1.2 billion, and a subsidiary of United Technologies makes the engine. So you can kind of see how it works. And, you know, are these decisions made for the public interest or the special interest? And all this campaign cash begs the question.
Mm-hmm. So what is the question here? And what's the answer? How do we solve this situation?
Well, there is a simple solution. The simple solution, you don't even need legislation. Larson and the rest of these powerful members of Congress should not accept, they should not solicit these federal contractors based in their district for campaign cash. Just don't take the money. You can advocate for a local business in your district. Many people would argue maybe that's the purpose of a member of Congress. But when you introduce the campaign cash, you introduce the conflict of interest and the perception of pay to play. And so you should remove that. You should remove the unethical conduct by not taking the cash.
Yeah, that's expecting a congressman or a politician to not take cash is like expecting a child to not drink mother's milk.
Well, and we polled our subscriber base at OpenTheBooks.com ahead of this report. We wanted to see if this was a big issue for the people all across the country. And so we've got a pretty bipartisan list. You know our oversight, Gary. It cuts both ways, Democrats and Republicans. Here's the results of our survey. 96% of our respondents said that it is unethical for a powerful member of Congress to solicit campaign cash from a federal contractor based in his district. And furthermore, it was important or very important to 92% of the respondents. So look, the people are way out in front of the politicians on this. And the people, we need to raise our voice. This is unethical conduct, and it should be stopped.
Agreed. Do you think there's an outrage building here that's going to make a difference, that's going to force these politicians to alter their behavior?
Well, I do. I think it's that way on both sides of the aisle. You know, the Republicans are castigating Democrats for the Bidens, and the Democrats have, you know, even before Trump was sworn in, they wanted to impeach him. We actually did an oversight report on the Brookings Institution. And most people don't know what Brookings is, but it's the leading liberal think tank in Washington, D.C. And they actually came out with a white paper on how to impeach the president before he was even sworn in. And at OpenTheBooks.com, we mashed up the federal checkbook with payments to the Brookings Institution during the Obama years. And here's what we found. 50 federal agencies, including the Obama White House, the Office of the President, cut checks to the Brookings Institute on contracts and grants for $19.5 million. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, look, Washington, D.C. is rife with conflict of interest, and all these things need to be exposed.
Yeah, agreed. So, you know, really, this isn't anything that new, though, is it? It's just the magnitude, I think, has gotten out of control here, right?
Well, and Gary, and I think that's why we believe that the open government movement is revolutionizing United States public policy and politics. You have to follow the money. So not only do we open the books, but we use the latest in forensic auditing techniques. Our auditors dig into the data. We follow the money. We mash it up with other data sets. Like on this report, we took 5 years of the federal government's checkbook on contracts and grants and direct payments and farm subsidies, and we mashed it up with the campaign donor disclosures from these powerful members of Congress. And so we've got four Republicans and four Democrats.
So who's the worst of this bunch here? Because, I mean, they're all doing it to some extent. We see it like in New York City, Comrade Bill de Blasio. You can't get a government contract, a city contract, without contributing to his PAC, to his nonprofits, to all of these things. We don't even know about their nonprofits that they're forcing these contractors or extracting funds from the contractors to contribute to.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Today's show is brought to you by U.S. Gold Corp. U.S. Gold Corp. is a U.S.-focused gold exploration and development company advancing high-potential projects in Wyoming and Nevada. U.S. Gold Corp. has consolidated a district on Nevada's productive Cortex Trend and is advancing the Copper King project towards production in Wyoming. Led by a team of prolific company builders and renowned explorers, including Dave Mathewson, who is directly responsible for several major Nevada gold discoveries, U.S. Gold Corp. is well-capitalized and has an extremely tight share structure with less than 20 million shares outstanding and trades on the NASDAQ, a major exchange, under the ticker symbol USAU. To learn more, go to usgoldcorp.gold. That's usgoldcorp.gold.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Well, that's the new legalized money laundering scheme, is you make a donation to a nonprofit controlled by allies or the politician themselves. And here's why. Nonprofit money, charitable money, there's no requirement of disclosure for very good reason. And it goes back to the civil rights movement and even before. But these politicians now are, they're able to have command and control over these public charities. And that creates a whole nother conflict of interest. Look, we are in about 30 days, over the next 30 days, we're going to issue a report on New York Governor Cuomo. We've mashed up the state of New York checkbook, which we're holding, with Cuomo's donor disclosures. And we've done the most, I think what you'll find is that our reporting will be the most in-depth to date on Cuomo and his perceived conflicts of interest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he certainly has his share of them, doesn't he?
Well, he really does. And the New York Times, to their credit, has been all over him about this. But nobody has done the hard work except for our auditors to root out all the details. And I want to come back to our report and talk about a Republican here in Congress, a powerful member of Congress, that we showcase in our Congressional Favor Factory report. You want to hear about the governor of South Dakota,
yeah,
or the powerful member of House Appropriations, Tom Cole, out of Oklahoma?
Yeah, let's hear about them both. I'm sure they're equally as corrupt.
So Tom Cole, he sits there in Oklahoma. He's a ranking Republican, the vice ranking Republican, second in command of Appropriations. They actually dole out the money, appropriate it. Mm-hmm. And so Cole, his number one campaign contributor, is a self-described Indian tribe. It's the Chickasaw Nation. He's a member of it. His mother was a Chickasaw. He's a member of the Chickasaw Nation. Mm-hmm. Over the course of his congressional career, they've put in $258,000 into Cole. Like I said, they're the number one contributor from the nation itself, from their executives, their employees, and from their affiliated lobbyists. The Chickasaw Nation, just in the past 5 years, has received taxpayer aid of $700 million, nearly $750 million worth of grants.
That's so nice.
But they've also received, and this is pretty interesting, about $500,000 of surplus equipment from the Department of Defense, from the Pentagon. And it's interesting what they received in part. They received mine-resistant vehicles. Now, they're sitting there in Oklahoma.
Yeah, how
they
many
get
mines are there?
Mine-resistant vehicles. Mine detection set. Like who in the state of Oklahoma is going to plant mines on the Chickasaw Nation turf? Well, anyway, they're getting the vehicles, the detection sets. They get infrared illuminators. They get night vision goggles, and they get long guns that fire the 308 rounds.
And they need all this for what?
Well, it's undetermined. We're arming a sovereign nation on the turf in Oklahoma. So Tom Cole, he rarely has an opponent. These stories always get a little worse, Gary. So yeah. Tom Cole rarely has an opponent As a matter of fact, in 4 out of the last 9 of his elections, his opponent never even raised a penny. So he has, you know, this is, it's probably legal at arm's length. We reached out to the Federal Election Committee, but he actually has his own political consulting firm, which he's hired his own firm from
legal?
His congressional campaign fund. And he's paid his firm about over $200,000 while he discloses on his disclosures that he's received about $300,000 back from his political consulting firm.
So he's pocketing
this
money.
His own campaign hires his own firm and his firm pays him.
Isn't that wonderful? How do they get away with this? I mean, that just seems...
I'm not exactly sure. You know, they write the rules, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the rules are lax. And when we reached out to the Federal Election Commission, they gave us the rule. We can discuss it, but there's a gray area. And Tom Cole's driving a bus through the gray area.
Yeah, really is. Ugh, that's disgusting. So what are we supposed to do here? Is there anything we can do? Because it doesn't matter what the party is. It doesn't matter what the state is. They're all corrupt to the core.
Well, I think people fundamentally understood that. If you go back to the election in 2016, whether you're on the left and voted for Bernie Sanders in the primary or for Donald Trump on the right in the primary and the general, both candidates ran on the system is rigged.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was Sanders or Trump, the message dovetailed on the campaign trail. So people across the entire ideological divide, they can agree on one thing. It is a corrupt system in Washington, D.C., and our report goes a long way to show just how bad it is.
It's out of control. I mean, and it's really hurting the country. It's one thing, hey, the politicians are always going to get their piece of the action. You know, corruption's been with us since Adam and Eve, let's face it. But it's another thing when, you know, this parasite, which used to just be like a little tick, has now turned into a vampire squid.
Well, and let's talk about one of the most egregious circumstances, and it's Jim Cooper down in Tennessee. So Jim Cooper, you know, he's known to be the conscience of the House. That's what the New York Times said about
him.
He's a ranking member on House Oversight and Government Reform. And Cooper is in the Nashville, Tennessee area. He sits on the Committee of the Budget. They dole out the budget, and his number one campaign contributor is from his home congressional district. They're based there. It's Vanderbilt University. And the Vanderbilt University directly can't give him campaign cash. They're a public charity dedicated to education, but their executives and employees are his number one contributor. They've given about $135,000 over the course of his career. Vanderbilt University has received from the federal budget $2 billion worth of federal grants, contracts, and direct payments over the last 5 years. And they employed Jim Cooper for a 12-year period while he was a sitting member of Congress from 2005 through 2017. Vanderbilt actually employed him as an adjunct professor and paid him out $250,500 during that period. So here you have a powerful ranking member on the budget, doling out the budget, the Vanderbilt University receiving literally billions of dollars while also employing Cooper. Talk about a conflict of interest.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Why am I not surprised?
You can't pick these things up.
So what about what's happening now with the Bidens that's come into play? Maybe that's Donald Trump's contribution to better government. So Hunter Biden, you know, basically good for nothing. He was a lawyer. I guess his father got him into Yale, all these great things. But he sits on the board of this Burisma, which Peter Schweizer artfully exposed, your colleague, a while ago. And then, he never even went to a meeting in the Ukraine. He was so indispensable. What was the point of all this?
So I didn't even know that. And Peter Schweizer is a board advisor to us at OpenTheBooks.com. And sure. Schweizer, whether it was the investigation that Schweizer broke on Hillary Clinton as published in the New York Times, or his latest book, which is about a year and a half ago, where he exposed this situation with the Bidens, with Hunter and the vice president, Schweitzer's been on the leading edge of all these national conversations. And people should buy his book and get the deep reads and the deep dive into the details, because they're absolutely disgusting. And it's trading on the power of your father's office. I mean, $50,000 a month is a lot of money. And I didn't know he never even went to the Ukraine. But Schweitzer does a great job of, now we're all learning the details. And Schweitzer kicked it off a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Biden, Hunter did actually resign from the board of that of Burisma, the big natural gas monopoly in the Ukraine, and he also retired or resigned from the board of some Chinese dominated hedge fund that he was just conveniently a member of.
Well, and I think, you know, he stood in line, whether or not he received any money. You know, that's yet to be determined. But he stood in line to receive $1.5 billion over there in China. Wasn't a small deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's important to know that's funding for the fund, but he owned 10% or 20%. It's hard to know exactly how much he owned because it got sliced and diced. Maybe it was laundered. I can't really say. But,
I mean, all of these things, you know, people get greedy. And I think this is why our founders, they feared politicians and invested the power in our system with individuals, with people, because politicians, I don't care if they're Democrats or Republicans, they disappoint. They always disappoint. And that was the genius of the system put into play. Look, normally how it's done for a little less money than what the Bidens tried to monetize. You know, John Larson right there in Connecticut 7 years ago, his wife Leslie got a state job at Connecticut Innovation. And here's the story on that. And this has been written about in the Connecticut papers. We also showcase it again in our oversight report on Larson in his case study. And we add additional details and an update. So Leslie Larson, she's hired at Connecticut Innovations. There was 199 applicants for the job, but she was the only one invited to fill out an application. And it was her friend, Claire Leonardi, who headed up the agency at the time. Thomas Leonardi headed up the very powerful Connecticut State Insurance Commission. And he was a John Larson donor. So they were friends. They were donors. Leslie Larson gets the job with over at Connecticut Innovations. And here's the update. Since her hiring, which critics cried foul, they said she didn't have a background. She didn't have a resume for this. It was a political hire. The Larsons denied it. But anyway, she's received in terms of cash compensation over 7 years, around $600,000. So that's the way it's normally done. It's normally done with clout. The Bidens, I think, got a little greedy.
Yeah, well, he was vice president, so he should be number two in line for the maximum amount of graft here. But so you think you think Joe is personally profiting from any of this or what?
Well, I'd leave that question for Peter Schweitzer. He is on the leading edge of all of it. And if he is, he'll root it out.
Okay. Well, I'm hoping he finds out soon. But I think Biden was finished before the graft corruption scandal came up. I mean, everyone wants their kid to do well. You do whatever you can to help them. But compliments of the swamp, we don't want to see people profiting as a result of the ability of their father politician to actually deliver the goods.
Exactly.
So, well, hey, Andrew, really appreciate you coming on. You can find all of Andrew's work over at openthebooks.com. I think it's must reading because the corruption that's laid out there will literally turn your stomach. I guess if enough people, Andrew, get motivated, get angered over this, we can make a difference. Let's hope. Hey, questions, comments for Andrew, myself, what's your take on the corruption in the swamp? Email us kl@carrylutz.com, Twitter feed @CarrieLutz, Facebook page Financial Survival Network. And Andrew, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you, Carrie.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.